So we're starting the rest of this year now with a series of living a God-honoring life. What does it mean for a Christian to live a God-honoring life? What have we received from the Lord Jesus? What can we give? What has God done for us? We're going to be looking in a great deal of what God's done for us. And what can we do with what God's given us? How do we use the things God's given us to bring honour to him? Do you want to honour God in all you do? Some of us. I really believe where we are at the moment in our church life is a great opportunity now, and I've said this a number of times, for the church to rise up and be the people God's called us to be. In a community that doesn't know what community is, in a community that has fears and worries and concerns and no hope, we have the answer. And the way we live our lives, the way we behave, the way we respond to what happens in the world will be the way that we will win people in our town and build community. So when we started, or when I started to prepare for this, I didn't know all that would be happening in our nation. But I knew that this was the right time. And when I'm sure about something, I'm not always sure about something, but when I am sure about something, and when I'm sure about the timing, it's really important that we grasp this. Is this okay? So I've asked Medan and Alan to help me with this, and they'll be taking one of the subjects, and we'll be going right to the end of the year. And then in the next part of the year, I'm going to be doing something different, but following on from that, it links very, very closely. So I want to encourage you. I know people think about holidays. I know people think about all kinds of things at this point in time. But I want us to stay focused as a church on where we're going. Is that all right? These spiritual gifts are really important for us, where we're going. Everything that we're doing has a plan. We're not just going through the motions as church. We're believing and fulfilling what God's calling us to do. And we need to understand that. Is that okay? So today what we're starting with is just a fantastic subject of grace. I love this theme of grace. I'm learning as I'm 51 years of age now. I've been a Christian since 1600 and frozen to death. And I'm learning new things every day. That's the good thing about Christianity. You never learn it and you've learned it all. We're still learning every day. God is revealing things to us every day. When we get to heaven, we're not going to be bored in heaven, let me tell you. We're going to learn new things every day because that's the kind of God we serve. One of the major things that distinguishes Christianity from all other religions is grace. You see, in false religions, enough is never enough. They require followers to sacrifice more, to achieve more, to suffer more, to learn more, to improve more. But Christians, you and I can enjoy the peace of God. We can enjoy peace with God because of what? Because of grace. As Christians, we do not need to fear an angry God. I was watching a program the other night, and I won't tell you what religion was, but they were interviewing the one person. They said that the biggest reason that they live their life the way they do is because they fear the God that they serve. They fear the retribution. They fear what might happen to them if they don't follow every bit of the law that they have to follow. As Christians, we do not fear an angry God. We never need to worry about whether our deeds are good enough to earn a secure afterlife. We will never, ever be able to secure an afterlife by good deeds. Do you know that? We know that, don't we? We can try as hard as we like, as much as we like, but it will not secure us a place in heaven. We don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear divine judgment. Isn't that good news for the church? If we do die tomorrow or today, we know where we're going. And when we stand in front of him, we do not fear divine retribution. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. We can rest securely in the unearned, undeserved, freely given gift of eternal life with our Maker, who has promised. And when God makes his promises, he always keeps them. He does not change his mind. You know that. If God has promised something, it is yes and amen. He has promised to accept everyone who receive his grace through faith alone and in Christ alone. If we have received Jesus Christ in our life by faith, if we have acknowledged that he is the way, the truth and the life, if we have put our trust in him as our salvation, have we accepted the free gift of Jesus Christ, and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, the Father has promised to receive us into his kingdom. Isn't that good? So many wonderful promises that you and I have. Look happy. Be happy. You see, grace is heavenly by nature. It's an alien thing. It's an alien feeling. It's an alien understanding, because this world does not really understand grace. This world never will understand grace unless they meet Jesus. And then they'll start to understand what grace is all about. In your notes, which are on the table, which you can take later, it's not 1 John, it's John 1:14. It says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, and he is full of grace and truth." Isn't that a lovely scripture? Full of grace, full of truth. Until Jesus came on this earth, people did not know grace or truth. The grace of heaven became tangible to us when Jesus is God's Son, when Jesus, God's Son, became human. When Jesus entered into this world, when he was born through Mary, virgin birth, when he entered, not only did this little baby arrive, little Jesus, meek and mild, but grace and truth entered into the world. It was his glory expressed in grace and truth that made him different from all other religious leaders. There has never been anybody like Jesus. There never will be anybody like Jesus. When Jesus came, he showed something completely different than anybody else had experienced or had been taught. And Jesus showed the truth about having peace with God. Today, we live in a world very similar to the time of Jesus, a world where it is full of demands, it's full of rules, it's full of regulations, it's full of hypocritical leaders. That's the word. Full of people that tell you to do one thing but don't do it themselves. My dad used to say, "Do as I say, not as I do." Anybody people like that, you know? And what Jesus did, he introduced a revolutionary way of life. Roger used this word today, lavished. Jesus lavished grace to his disciples. When those disciples spent time with Jesus, all Jesus did was constantly lavish grace upon them. When they said, "Who's going to be the greatest?" Jesus lavished grace upon them. When they made mistakes and they failed, Jesus lavished grace upon them. Today, Jesus lavishes his grace upon the church. Yeah, I wonder if many people really experience that or really enjoy it. And as Jesus lavished grace upon the disciples, that started to rub off on them, and something happened from within, and they were transformed from within and became a different person. And this is what happens when we understand grace, when we understand what God has done for us. We're going to talk about that in a minute. It transforms us from the inside out. Who wants to be transformed from the inside out? You know, this world needs to see Christians that are transformed from the inside out. The ministry of Jesus and subsequently the Christians that followed shocked the Roman world. They didn't know what to do with Christianity. They didn't know how to respond. They'd never experienced love and grace and truth like this before. John sums this up in 1 John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So the law brought requirements, it brought rules, it brought regulations. And this fueled the Pharisees' hypocrisy. This gave them ammunition, and they weren't just content with just the rules and the regulations. They decided that rather than release people and be people, leaders that would release people and help them be the people God wanted them to be, they put more rules and more regulations upon them. They burdened the people. They intensified people's guilt. They intensified people's shame. These were the leaders that should help people, but they heaped problem and shame and guilt upon them. Can you imagine? They were already under terrible, terrible. The Roman authorities that did awful things to the Jewish people. So they have that already, and then the religious leaders of the day are heaping more guilt, more shame upon them, when really what they should be doing is releasing them. The Pharisees were completely obsessed by duty and external conduct, and they promoted a system so demanding there was no room for joy. Anybody met killjoys? People that do not want you to enjoy your life. People don't want the best for you. They never find the best in you. They only find the worst in you. Do you want to take Jeanette to the back if you can have a conversation? Is that okay? People in life. It's okay. People in life that just don't want the best for you. They can't see the best in you. They just want to dampen everything you do. And so the Pharisees, they brought a system which degenerated into external performance rather than internal authenticity. If you look good on the outside, then it's okay. Doesn't matter what's going on the inside, as long as you follow all the rules, you do everything that the law says, it doesn't matter what's happening inside, it only matters what it looks like on the outside. And we know as Christians that is completely the opposite, isn't it? Isn't that true? God is interested in what's on the inside. He's not interested so much on the outside. The outside should be a reflection of what's coming from the inside out. When grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ, a long-awaited revolution of the heart began that set religious captives free. Jewish people were looking to be set free. They were looking for a Messiah that would set them free. And Jesus came. And what does the Bible say? I have come to set the captives free. This is exactly what Jesus did. He brought a revolutionary way of life, and he came to set the captives free. Fearful bondage motivated by guilt was replaced by fresh motivation to follow him out of devotion and delight. Do you know Jesus wants us to follow him, not out of guilt? Do you know that? Isn't that true? Oh, I should be reading my Bible more. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. Jesus didn't come so that we would be under the burden of shame and guilt. He's come to release us so that it should be a delight in serving him. It should be a motivation from the grace that we receive. It will be a delight to serve Jesus. Is it a delight for you today to serve Jesus? Is he your delight? Are you motivated by your love for him? There's no shame. There's no guilt. Jesus emphasized faith, not works. Believe in me, he said. Believe in what my Father has promised. Believe in what I'm saying, and you will be free. This was freedom for them, and it's freedom for us. John 8:32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How do we know the truth? Well, first of all, we know the truth by knowing Jesus. Because when we're introduced to Jesus in our life, we're introduced to truth. Jesus taught grace and he lived it. I don't know whether you ever watch or you're a royalist or you're not a royalist, but when you watch the royal family meet the commoners, us, and when the royal family go out, there is a whole group of people that want to see the royal family. They'll crowd in and try and hopefully get one of the royal family's attention and hope that they'll stop and talk to them. And on occasions, the royal family will walk past the commoners, you and I, and they will stop. And as they stop, they will get the eye of one of the people. And then one of the royals will bend down, stoop down, take their hand and touch the commoner. Grace in the Old Testament uses this word chesed. It's commonly translated as loving kindness. The term means to bend or to stoop. It's a condescending favour. The royalty condescend and give favour to the commoner. This is grace. There's nothing that person has done to earn it or to deserve it. There's no reason why the royalty should stop what they're doing, should stop walking past, and should reach down and stoop down and touch them. There's no reason that the commoner has done that they should expect that. Donald Gray Barnhouse said, "Love that stoops is grace." And that's exactly what our Heavenly Father has done to us from heaven. He stooped down and showed us his love. Isn't that amazing? That he would do that for you and I. As sinful as we are and all that we do. Chesed is central to the Jewish belief and Jewish theology. It is a term in the Bible for describing God's love for humankind and God's special relationship with his people. Do you know we can enjoy a special relationship with God? The world outside, many people can't enjoy it. They don't even know him. But we can enjoy it. We're going to look at that in a little bit longer, a little bit. God stoops down to his people and shows favour to people that do not deserve it. Chesed grace is to extend favour to someone who does not deserve it and can never earn it. We can never earn God's grace. And we will never deserve it. I think Alan said we just need to accept it the other week. He gave a great message. Receiving God's acceptance by grace always stands in sharp contrast by earning it on the basis of works. There are still Christians today that believe that they have to work hard to keep their salvation. They have to work hard to get into heaven. There are some Christians today that still wonder, are they going to be good enough to get into heaven? We need to resolve in our hearts we will never be good enough. We can never work hard enough. We can never get in by works, only through faith in Jesus Christ. And understand that. Grace is absolutely and totally free. Do you believe that? Would you tell somebody near you that grace is absolutely and totally free? You will never be asked to pay it back. You will never stand in front of God and God say to you, well, how are you going to ever pay this back for me? How are you going to do it? He'll never ask you to pay it back. It's totally and completely free. There are no strings attached. Because Jesus has died and therefore satisfied the Father's demands on sin, all we need to do is accept it. Does that make sense? Jesus had to die for the sins of the world. Jesus had to die to pay the price for sin because the Father demanded death for sin. That's why we have the sacrifices in the Old Testament. When Jesus came, only he was good enough to die to take away the sins of the world. When he died on the cross and used the words, "It is done," finished, the father looked upon the son and said, it's done. I'm satisfied. The price for sin has been paid. And how do we know that? Because the father raised Jesus from the dead. All we need to do is to accept his grace. This is amazing grace. This is amazing grace that we're going to sing about in a little while. How often have we sung that hymn? How often have we sung that song and really understood what that means for us? Sometimes, sadly, there are people in church life who kill freedom and joy. They do so with their words. They do so with their looks. You know the look? The disapproval? You're conscious that someone is watching you. You catch their eye and there's the look of disapproval. There's the attitude that can happen. And then what that happens is the killjoys that look at other people's lives and more interested in looking at people's lives and the problems that they have bring people into bondage, bring people into fear. And I want to say to you at church, we're not going to be a people like that at all. Does that make sense? We're not going to be killjoys. You know, one look from us to a person can crush their life. We've not walked in their shoes. We walk in our own pair of shoes and we never walk in someone else's shoes and we don't have the right to judge what they're doing. It's not our job. Our job is to release people. Our job is to help people. Our job is to love people and be grace givers. And I want to encourage us as a church, let us be grace givers to people around us. At OCC, grace should be released. It should not be denied. It should be enjoyed and it should be freely given. It's time for a grace awakening. Shall I say it again? Some of you are very quiet. It's time for a grace awakening that whoever walks through this door experiences amazing grace. From the Father, from the Son, from the Holy Spirit, and from us. Will you make it happen? In your God-honoring life, will you make it happen? Will you be resolved in your heart today to make that happen with people that come through this door? So often we can spend time looking at people, criticizing every little thing that they do, criticizing what they wear or how they behave, spending time and our thoughts and our energy and what we should do to tell them in order to get their lives right. Searching scriptures to tell them how they should live their life. Instead, I want to ask us to do this. I want us to meditate and understand what grace means to you and I. I want us to think about God's goodness and his faithfulness and his love and his mercy to us in our lives. Let's spend time thinking about just what Jesus has done on the cross and what that means for us. Let's think about the truth and grace that we can experience through Jesus and that we have freely received even though we do not deserve it. Let's focus our time on that. Let's focus on the abundant supply of God's grace and our free gift of salvation and our forgiveness. And you know, when we focus on that, something will happen inside us from the inside out. Does that make sense, church? We don't need to look at other people. We need to look at Jesus and we need to look at ourselves and invite the Holy Spirit just to reveal to us exactly where we are as his children. Don't you feel blessed today for what God has done for you? Yeah? Are you quiet? As we do so, something wonderful will happen to us. As we focus on God's grace, we'll be more tolerant of other people. We'll be more forgiving. We'll be more wanting them to achieve great things for God. Remember, we're not looking for superficial performance of others. We're not looking for outward appearance of others. How many of us at times someone's walked across our path and the first observation we made, I don't like that person. Or I like that person. And then you get to know them and you thought you liked them and then afterwards you don't like them. And we spent so much time thinking about whether we like the person or not. If we're transformed from the inside out, we will never be the same again. And the people that walk through the doors and the people in our roads and our families will never be the same again because we're different. Does that make sense? As our understanding of grace expands, we will mature in the faith. I think we can spend a lifetime discovering just what grace is about. John Newton, who used to be a slave trader, became a hymn writer. He sang and wrote the song, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. What's the next line? That saved a wretch like me. I once was, but now I'm, was blind, but now I see. Something happened to this slave trader who would take people that were seen as an inferior race and take them across continents and put them in chains, realised one day that he had to break those chains that he put people in. And the reason he did it was because God's amazing grace touched his life, transformed him from the inside out, and now he no longer held people in bondage, but he released people and set them free. That's part of the church's role today. That's part of Oasis Christian Centre's role today. We need to start to see things with a new perspective. We need to look at other people with different eyes and in a different way. The Apostle Paul was transformed from being a cruel, brutal, religious persecutor of the church. He had an encounter with the living God. God changed his life forever. And he then became a humble servant of God that travelled thousands and thousands and thousands of miles to release people from the religious bondage that he brought as a Pharisee, a teacher of the law. He was now able to set people free. Friends, you and I, with the word of God, understanding the word of God, are able to set people free by introducing them to Jesus and living a certain way of life. Do you want to be somebody that will release people? Who wants to join me? Put your hands up. What did God do? God stooped down to him and showed him unmerited favour of grace. This is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 9. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace, isn't that a wonderful statement? By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of you, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it is I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you have believed. Paul declared that he owed everything to Chesed, the grace of God. What did Paul deserve for what he did to people? He deserved the greatest of punishment. What did he receive? The unmerited favour of God who stoops down and redeems him. There are people today that we know in this world that do terrible things that perhaps deserve terrible punishment for what they've done. But God today still reaches out his hand and grace to all mankind, to every person. Paul was a murderer. God saved him. Paul said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. He was saying, if there's any goodness in me, if there's anything that is good, and I'm not sure if there really is because I'm a pretty bad person, it's only because of God's grace. He doesn't deserve it. He's a cripple. He says, I've got nothing to offer you. And David says, doesn't matter. Today, God says, doesn't matter. He says, I'm reaching out my hand to you. You can come and eat at my table any day. Isn't that good news? You can have the same benefits as my own children have because I love you. I want you to experience this grace. And you and I don't deserve it, yet he offers it to us, the unconditional love. This is just amazing grace. Do we get the message today? Do we understand that the Father stoops down to our level and he reaches out his hand and he touches the commoner, the sinner, the one who deserves nothing, and he raises them up. And with condescending grace, he gives the same privileges and benefits that he has given his own son, Jesus Christ. And you and I can enjoy that for eternity. We could always feast at his table. In heaven, we're going to feast at his table in eternity forever. Isn't that good news? We can enjoy the same benefits. The Bible says that we're going to rule and reign alongside Jesus. We don't deserve it, but he's chosen to do it for us. We can enjoy the King's abundant provision, undeserved yet unconditional love. Let's go back to the Amazing Grace hymn, and we're going to sing it in a minute. And Alan and the musicians, if you'd listen, singers, two musicians, one singer, come back and join me for a minute. And if we could put the song Amazing Grace up for a minute. And then we're going to look at this verse. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. Isn't that our testimony? We've been through some stuff, some of us in this room. I've been through stuff, you've been through stuff. I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far. And what will it do? Grace will lead me home. Friends, we're going to finish well. You're going to finish when you take your last breath well. Jesus comes back tomorrow, you're going to finish well because of the grace of God that's in you and that you're going to bestow upon others. Let's say those words together. Through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Do you believe that? Let's stand together. We're going to sing this hymn together. We're going to put it in our hearts. We're going to be grace givers. There's going to be a place of abundant grace here at Oasis. And many people are going to enjoy grace. And you're going to enjoy it too. It's okay to enjoy yourself as Christians. Do you believe that? It's okay to know that you are saved. You've got a future and a hope. And that God has given you grace. So as we sing this today, the application for this word is just to receive it joyfully and just thank him and be a grace giver to others. Thank you so much for listening. Next week, we'll look at another subject, which we perhaps all know very well. And we'll look at it maybe from a slightly different perspective. And some notes on the table if you wish to take them. Thank you.